This year, I shall be celebrating Christmas first in London, and thanks to Boeing, in Toronto the next day. I used to do that first in Melbourne, then fly back for Christmas here. And you say you miss the day. What does it matter? As I shall be speaking, you may realize that our original topic for today was about King Saul. But as I meditated through the week, I said, I think we can leave King Saul to after the new year. But to talk about Christmas, I won't have the opportunity to share with you unless I do it today. So as I meditated, I thought, yes, it's good that we talk about this great event, the most joyous, happy, most glorious event of the year that we ought to always remember around this time. It need not be December 25th, need not be. As I said, sometimes I celebrate in Melbourne on the 22nd, and then fly back for the 24th. Dear friends, there are so many misconceptions about Christmas that I have entitled today's message, Christmas Should a Christian Celebrate? And if so, how to celebrate? Today, we live in an age of deception. Great deception in the church, in the world. The church has been taken over by the great deceiver, the father of lies. So that it is a great peril today for most people to walk into most churches because they do no longer hear the gospel. This is the situation today. And in the same context, Christmas has, as it were, been hijacked by the God of this world to be made into a world event. Do you know? There is only one so-called birthday, the so-called birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is celebrated in every country by every religion on earth. That is the one day in the whole year that every religion, every nation, every country is pleased to remember and to celebrate in their own way. Christmas, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it has been totally secularized, humanized. We remember Jesus coming because God, Emmanuel, come in the flesh to take on flesh and blood like one of us for a purpose. But the world sees Christmas as shopping, economy. Everyone is watching. How will the shops do in December? So many shops do in 1 month. The business of six. Because this is Christmas. Everybody is caught with that buying urge, shopping urge. Everybody must buy and buy. That is Christmas for you today. In 19 days' time, planet Earth will explode with celebration everywhere. Even Muslim airlines play Silent Night so that all the passengers sit there unhappy. It's mood music. This is the mood. Everybody must hear carols and then get into that mood to do what? To enjoy. My friends, Christmas is not for us to enjoy. Christmas is to remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world of misery, the world of sin, the world of destruction, caused Jesus to come to take on our form, blood and flesh, in order to die for us. He who knew no sin came to be like a sinner born in the lowest of circumstances, walk, live, preach, die, that through his death, he might destroy him who has the power of death. That is the meaning of Christmas. But you won't see this in Orchard Road. Everybody know Orchard Road. If there were a vote taken, I assure you, Orchard Road will carry first prize of any city in the world. We used to walk in London. Regent Street was so beautiful. We thought, now we go back there, it is completely in the shade compared with Orchard Road. Here we have to survive, they say. You make Orchard Road so beautiful, all the Indonesians in past years must spend a week or two in the hotels in Singapore and walk Orchard Road to feel happy. And they pour down the money. It's money, dear friends, money. Christmas is for shopping. Christmas is for partying, for revelry, for enjoyment. Oh, dear friends, I say again, the God of this world has hijacked Christmas and made it into a great festive season so that people will forget Christ, only celebrate Christmas. I want to share with you this morning 3 points about Christmas from history. What is history? History tells us what happened in years gone by, facts of history. You must know facts of history. If you do not know, how do you know what Christmas is? Do you? I must say that in years past, I did not. So whenever Christmas came and we had children in the house, oh, Christmas tree, lights, make it nice, put gifts. Wow, how wonderful. We are going to have another Christmas and celebrate. Now, that was the idea. Where did it come from? How do you know? History. History is a great teacher. Those who will not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. 3 points in history. First, the name Christmas. Where did it come from? Second, the date, December 25th. Where did it come from? Thirdly, the symbols of Christmas. Where did they come from? Before I go into the details of the history, I can tell you firstly, none of those things came from the Bible. None of them. They were all man-made, man-invented, and not just men, but ungodly men. Heathen, pagan, idol-worshipping men invented those things and attached them to the name of Christ, and all the world received it and accepted it and say, this is Christmas. I say, dear friends, this is not Christmas. We are being deluded, deceived, and misled. Number one, the name. How do we get the name Christmas? I must confess again my ignorance. I never knew until recent years. Christ, Mass, joined together becomes Christmas. How can the name of our exalted Savior, Christ, be joined to an idol worship word, Mass? How did it come about? Fourth century, it began in the Roman Catholic Church, and they use it as Christmas to celebrate the Mass, the most important and memorable Mass to be celebrated with the birth of Jesus Christ. Now you get it? Christ Mass. I say thank God for the Chinese. In Chinese, we don't have any Christ Mass, but Sheng Dan, meaning holy birth. Even the Indonesians and the Malays, they know it. Hari Natal. What is the meaning? The day of the birth. But we English Christians, Christ Mass, and become Christmas. So please understand, it does not refer to the birth of Jesus Christ. It refers to an idolatrous activity, festivity, the Mass. I'm not saying that, I mean, that there cannot be Mass. Of course, we live in a free country. Let everyone be persuaded what you ought to do to remember the Lord's coming. And there are those who are persuaded that way. That is their way. We cannot object to it. It must go on. But I say, in this free country, we say, we must know history. That is the history. And it did not come from the Bible. Number two, the date. How come there is a 25th of December? There is a mess of tradition behind the selection of December 25th. But the major one is the observance of the heavenly bodies. If you live in the northern hemisphere, we cannot experience that when we are just above the equator. You know, you don't see much of it. But if you live in England, you see June 21st or 22nd, the sun is at highest. Come July, lower. August, lower. September, lower. November, December is about to drop into the horizon. And the people got alarmed. What will happen to this great sun? Lo and behold, December 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, definitely the sun is coming up again. Hooray! Victory! Unconquerable sun. He is victorious. December 25th. The sun is up again. That's how they decided on December the 25th. The victory of the invincible, unconquerable sun. So all the people rejoice, worship the sun. December 25th. Now, why are they so concerned about the sun? Can you ask? Can you tell me? If the sun were to switch off in minutes, we will all freeze and die. So the sun is the symbol of life. Therefore, December 25th, the recovery of the sun is celebrated as the symbol of the return of life. Now, how do you depict life? Light, therefore. Christmas then began to have lights. In the old days, candles, bonfires. Nowadays, electric bulbs and other lights. Light is life. That's why the whole of Orchard Road is ablaze. Light. The other symbol of life is greenery. You have the greenies today. The green revolution. People say, you are polluting the atmosphere. The ecology is being spoiled. We very soon will all starve because there will be no life, no green. So, Christmas began to be remembered by green things. Holly and the ivy, right? Christmas tree. Where did it come from? Oh, thank the great sun. Now our Christmas tree will not die. Let's have a tree in the house. Light it up. Light plus tree means life. That is Christmas. It was in the old days, as I said, when we had children. Every Christmas, have a tree. Because we did not know the origin. And I say, like Paul, we did it in ignorance. God forgive us. Now we have no more trees in the house. At the foot of Christmas tree, lots of parcels, gifts, exchange, giving of gifts. How did this come about? Oh, dear friends, all these have tradition because this great patron saint of Christmas, you know who he is? You know who he is? That magical figure that is ever present. You go to the shopping centers, what do you see? Santa Claus. Who is Santa Claus? Where did he come from? Oh, they show him riding the sky on a sleigh drawn by reindeers, red nose, and flying around. And then they say, this is Santa Claus. Wonderful. Children, tonight Santa Claus is going to bring you a present. Ring. Hang a stocking. Bigger the better. A big stocking gets more presents. And Santa Claus will come down. Where will he come down? Either by the window or by the chimney. And he'll stuff your stocking with gifts. So this giving of gifts even has a tradition. Because Saint Nicholas, whose name got corrupted into Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas was the patron saint of sailors. You know that the Roman Catholic Church has various saints who do various functions. And for those who sail, you must invoke Saint Nicholas. And the tradition was that Saint Nicholas saved some sailors from drowning. And for his great work, we must express gratitude by giving gifts one to another, exchange of gifts, in order to remember Saint Nicholas. And that's how Santa Claus becomes a giver of gifts. All these are human inventions. So now you know how we got December 25th. As I said, not from the Bible, but out of that tradition. Now the symbols of Christmas, where did they come from? Again, I want to inform you, all those symbols that many of us, including me and my wife and my family, used to hold as so precious. Every year after Christmas, we keep the tree. Of course, it's artificial. Keep in the room, wrap it up. Next year, take it out again with all the lights. All these things have a pagan tradition. So I was asked, should we have a tree in the church? I said, no, what for? Well, everybody has a tree. If everybody has a tree, why don't we have a tree? Dear friends, that's why I say you must study history. When you know history, you don't want the tree. Evergreen objects. I've mentioned holly and the ivy. And the mistletoe is another one. And green, evergreen wreaths. Some homes have it. A green wreath and hang on the front door with a horseshoe. What for? Bring life. Bring luck. Good luck. And that home is blessed. There is also the Yule log. The log is supposed to be part of life. So, dear friends, the whole community today is caught up in a whirl of senseless merrymaking. All the best dining places are booked out months beforehand. Why? We must have a Christmas Eve party. Why? Because it is Christmas. Why? Because we must all make merry. Bring your friends and family and have a good night out. That is life. Life. Revelry. Enjoyment. Eating, drinking, partying, wanton activities. My friends, how do you feel after all these things? Some will say then, what must we do? We must not celebrate Christmas because it's so pagan, let's forget it. Is that what you think? I have written in the weekly, and I wish that you will all go back and read. Because there is so much of paganism in Christmas today, there is a reaction in the church, some churches, who totally will not touch any kind of activity around Christmas time. So they say, hey, you should not have a meeting. I say, yes, friends. Let's be realistic. Let's be scriptural. Let's be spiritual. Think of the young father. He's so enthusiastic. This child of mine is so dirty. I've washed until the whole bathtub, the water is so dirty. Let's throw the water out with the child. Boom. The child is also thrown out. That is the idea of those who say, no Christmas meeting. It's full of paganism. Throw it out. I say the baby is too precious. We meet. Let's meet. 24th or 23rd, whatever time, doesn't matter. The date is not important. You can have it a week before. You can have it a day before. The date is not important. As I said, 24th, I shall be in London. 25th, in Toronto. And if possible, 26th, I may be in Vancouver. In order to rejoice with the people, in order to bring them the Word of God, what God's Word teaches about Christmas, about the coming of the Savior and its implications for us. So I say, dear friends, let us not throw out the lovely baby with the dirty bathwater. Jesus came for us. In Galatians chapter 4, I urge you to turn there that we may see what God's Word has for us. Galatians 4. Galatians 4:4. Here is a mention of the coming of the Savior without the date, only the fullness of the time. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Pause here and think. Verse 4 says, when the fullness of the time, please understand, we have a most wonderful God who planned everything from the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, it was already ordained. Jesus Christ, the Son, will come to earth for that one purpose on a particular day. What day? It is not mentioned. But be sure of this. God knew the time. God knew the day. God planned and ordained the day. What day? It was ordained by God Almighty that Jesus Christ should come when the Holy Land was in the dominion of heathen people, Romans. When Augustus Caesar sat on the throne in Rome and the Holy Land and all the Middle East was under Rome, God ordained, verse 4, see, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth Jesus to be born in Bethlehem at the time that it was ruled by the Romans. There are many implications for that. It was because of the Romans who ordered that all those people at that time must return to their hometowns to be counted, to be taken for census. And that is how Jesus came to be born, not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem. Why? In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son to be born under a Roman emperor who said, you people must return to your own hometown, which is Bethlehem. That's how Jesus came to be born there, so that He could fulfill the prophecy of Micah that at Bethlehem, your little town, which is nothing among the thousands of Judah, is going to be honored by my Son to be born there. How come? In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. And the Roman emperor says, you all return. And Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem. Made of a woman, made under the law. Made of a woman. This is the center point of our doctrine of Jesus Christ, born of a woman, predicted in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Eden. And there God said, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. That is the first announcement of what? That God's predetermined, foreordained Savior will be the seed of woman. Genesis 3:5. So here it is, made of a woman, whereas modern Bibles change it. Jesus born of Joseph. They destroy the Bible. But we preach, we believe, and we exalt the name of Jesus because He was made of a woman. And at Christmas time, we remember this great event, how God chose a simple maiden out of all Judah, one simple maiden, Mary, who had known no man. And God's Spirit came upon her, and she brought forth the baby. This is the meaning of Christmas. Our God Emmanuel came by the virgin's womb. What for? Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If Jesus had not come, we would still be in darkness, not sons of God. Today we will all be sons of perdition, sons of the curse, without hope, without life. Christmas, the coming of Jesus, is to bring us hope, bring us life, because He was willing, because Jesus was willing to come down, to be one of us, and born of a virgin. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And yet, dear friends, there are so many who need to hear that message today. Maybe right in your own home. It is very difficult to tell people in your own home about your Savior. You know, it's very difficult, but let's not despair. Let's pray. There are so many today who need to know the message. And I say, Christmas has lost its meaning if we do not use that time to think and pray for those who need to hear that you can reach. I cannot reach them. You can reach only certain people in your circle. I can reach certain people in my circle. But I say the Lord has a work for all of us at Christmas. Christmas is not for us to go round trip. Very good. I don't say there's anything wrong with the round trip, but let's remember there are trips you can do for the Lord at Christmas time. Go for Him. Give for Him. Pray for Him. Pray for those who need to know the Christmas message and bring them in. We shall have our usual Christmas gospel and praise service. Let's make it a great and joyous time. Bring your friends. Come yourself. Bring all your relatives. Fill this hall with 1,200 people and let them hear the news that Jesus came to save. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Hebrews 2 verse 14, to further reinforce what we have read from Galatians, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, Jesus, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that is, He partook of flesh and blood. The mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of how God, Spirit, the great Creator, should come to become a man. Verse 14. For as much then as you and I are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus Himself also humbled Himself likewise to partake of the same, that He might become a man, like one of us. This is the mystery of salvation, that God sent His own Son to be in human form, that He should qualify to take our place. Not angels, not any animal, Although all the thousands and thousands of animals sacrificed in the Old Testament time, they were but symbols. They were but foreshadows of the coming of the Savior. They were the type of the Savior. They were just to announce to the people, the Savior is coming. He will be the supreme and perfect and the complete sacrifice. Jesus Christ will be the sacrifice. Those animals cannot take away sin, but God's own Son must come, and He goes to the cross. In the fullness of the time, again I want to just touch on that point, in the fullness of the time, Christ did not come in the time when execution was by firing squad or by beheading. Christ came when the method of execution for criminals was crucifixion. He said, then why did he have to come then? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, says Lord Jesus himself, even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. And who will lift him up but the Romans? That is why the fullness of the time must be the Roman time. When the Roman executioner was on the cross, Jesus says, as Moses lifted the serpent, I will be lifted on the cross, that whosoever looks to him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the message of Christmas. This is the reason why we remember Christmas. This is the reason why we must not forget Christmas. Every Christmas comes, and let us remember there was a Savior who came willingly, who humbled himself, who debased himself, who suffered for us. All the sufferings that you and I cannot suffer, we cannot bear it, he bore it for us. And he went willingly, paid the price. Christmas is to tell people about Calvary, that there is hope in Calvary because of Christmas. Verse 14, he himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that there should be that blood to be shed, the pure, sinless, wholesome blood of Jesus to be shed on Calvary's cross for the washing of your sins, for the washing of my sins. For without that cleansing blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And why did he have to die? Read on. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How to destroy the devil? The seed of woman will crush the serpent's head was fulfilled on the cross when Christ died for us. By his death, you know, the devil thought, now we have him, we caught him, now we put him to death. But in that death, our Lord Jesus Christ destroyed the devil who killed him. This is the mystery of redemption. Read again, that through death Jesus might destroy him, Satan, serpent, that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death, all their lifetime, subject to bondage. I say, dear friends, if there is anyone perchance in this hall who has not known the Savior, who is still afraid of death, come to him. It says here, he has destroyed the one who has power of death. When you have received the Savior, there is no more the need to fear death. There is no more that hold of death over you, because Jesus has destroyed him who has the power of death. So Christmas is a time when we are released from that kind of a bondage, that all the world outside can have that release also, to know that there is a Savior who came, Christmas baby, who became a man, who went to the cross, shed his blood. That blood is sufficient for all sinners to come and have their sins cleansed and to receive forgiveness and life everlasting. Then there is no more bondage. Verse 15, are you subject to bondage? That fear, being bound with fears of death, with terror of the grave. No, dear friends, at Christmas time we have the one and only message to tell all the world that is not available in any other religion, that Christ died to destroy death and the power of death. And coming to Him, we have the victory over death and the grave and a glorious future promise, because Jesus Christ died, buried, was resurrected. Praise the Lord. Christmas must look beyond Bethlehem to Calvary and to Mount Olives, where Jesus Christ appeared and where He ascended, where He's coming again. You see, the mystery and the marvel of Christmas doesn't stop at the manger, but goes on. Now we look to the throne above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, making intercession for us, preparing the home for us. As He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. Not Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, but Jerusalem above. Jesus Christ says, in My Father's house are many mansions. You believe in God, believe also in Me. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is the message of Christmas. If you stop at the babe in the manger, you have lost the whole message. But the message is, Christ is coming again. Are you ready? Oh, dear friends, this is the greatest thought, the only prophecy yet to be fulfilled. He is coming again. Do you believe? If you believe, you will fill this place with people overflowing on Christmas Eve. What for? That they may come and hear that Jesus is the Savior, ready, waiting for them, to receive them, to forgive their sins, and to give them everlasting life and a place in heaven. That is Christmas. Verse 16, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels. God did not send an angel. Angels are only ministering spirits. They are messengers. But God sent the Prince, His own Son, Christ, the promised Savior, the Messiah, the anointed Savior. He came. When? At Christmas. What day? We don't know. All we know is the fullness of the time God sent Him, and the fullness of the time God will send Him again. When? I don't know. But the fullness of the time is very near. Do you know that? When you know that, I say we all want to go out and tell others there is a Savior who is coming. At the fullness of the time, He will break the clouds of heaven. He will appear in power and great glory. Are you ready? How can you be ready? How can I be ready? Oh, dear friends, come to the foot of the cross and there see the Savior bleeding, dying. He will receive you and prepare you that you'll be ready when He comes in the fullness of the time. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Yes, now in heaven we have a wonderful Savior, you know, who is like one of us with a body. You believe that? The angel says, you men of Galilee, why look you gazing to heaven? This same Jesus whom you have just seen, whom we all have witnessed, the nail prints in His hands and the nail prints in His feet and the spear thrust in His side, He's gone up. There He sits in heaven with those tokens of the torture inflicted by the Roman soldiers. There in heaven. And this same Jesus will come again. He will come again. Inasmuch as you saw Him go, He will come
That is the message of Christmas. Verse 17. He was made like unto his brethren, a human being. He was God-man. And he bore those nail prints for your sake and for my sake. Gone to heaven, preparing to come again, that he might be our merciful and faithful high priest. Where is your high priest? Today there are many people who today go to priests for pardon, for confession, for help. We have a high priest, faithful, true, almighty high priest in heaven. Do you know him? Do you speak to him every day? Do you go through him? He is the only mediator. For there is one God and one mediator and between man and God. The man Christ Jesus, and here it says, he is a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Verse 18 in conclusion, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted today. Are you tempted? He said, what is it? Surely you know the temptations that come every day. Many kinds, all kinds, temptations. And all those temptations are pulling us away out of the church of God into the world. Don't. We have a faithful and wonderful high priest, merciful and faithful, and he is seated at the right hand of God, praying for us, interceding for us. That is the meaning of Christmas. Thank God every day. Don't just thank him around this time. Every day, thank God, I have a Savior who is a faithful and a merciful high priest, and he is able to succor me in my temptations. Where does it say so? Verse 18. This is the meaning of Christmas. Because of Christmas, we have this great high priest. He himself has suffered those temptations. Therefore, he is able to succor, to help, to relieve, to uplift those who are being tempted today. This is the meaning of Christmas, dear friends, that in Christmas, we come to renew our love for the Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Even now, he is faithful, merciful, high priest. Thank God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the message of Christmas, that we ought to remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus with gratitude, oftentimes. Every day, to thank God, I have a Savior who was willing to come. And thank God that I have a Savior who is coming again and who says, go ye into all the world. Help us that we will be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.